Dave talks about the prayer retreat, and I want to change my message, but I'm not going to. I was thinking of how so many times we take a precious verse to us, and we lift it out, and we don't always read above it, we don't always read below it. But we've quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 15, though, says, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. We think about that, what a blessing it is in prayer. Tonight we want to share about insecurity. And somebody said, what are you preaching on that for? You're not insecure. I said, I'm trying to help y'all. No, but we all suffer from that affliction in one way or another. And sometimes it's called by various names, and we'll look at that. But the outcome is the same, and the cure is the same. So tonight, if you will, turn to Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25, standing as we read. If you can turn and stand at the same time, don't hurt yourself. But Jesus is teaching. And in 6:25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Where if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we pray that we'd be able to share it boldly, but certainly truthfully, that it might touch hearts exactly where we're at. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I think it's interesting here before I move on that there's five times in this short passage that the Lord says, take no thought. In other words, he's desiring that we lean upon him, that we trust him. Says something one time, that's enough. Says it two times, you better pay attention. But when he says it five times, there's something to grab hold of here. But insecurity takes on different forms. Anxiety, paranoia, low self-esteem, depression, to name a few. And all of us may suffer from one or more at one time or the other. And yet with these things, I'm not saying all of it, but much of it can be self-inflicted. Let that soak in just a second. Now, I realize there's some medical reasons for depression and other things, but spiritually we have to look at that too. And sometimes we can suffer from these because it's self-inflicted. One thing I love about the Word of God is that the Lord never backs away from a situation, never backs away from a problem, for a topic, so to speak. Well, I don't know what it says. My problem is I know what it says. You know, I just don't do it a lot of times. But God's Word doesn't back away. One of my favorite commentators is Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And I love to read after him. I love to listen to him on the radio. But inevitably, when I was preparing a message and I got to a really difficult passage of Scripture, I'd go look to see what Dr. McGee said, and he didn't say nothing. You know, and it was like the Lord says, that's for you to start studying. That's for you to bring it out. Don't just be talking about somebody else and you re-chewing what they've already chewed. You look for yourself. Well, how about paranoia? How many of us have said or laughed at, I'm paranoid, but I wouldn't be paranoid if everybody wasn't out to get me, you know. And paranoia takes on a form all of its own. Seriously, it's distrustful. Delusions of persecution, self-centered fear. Isn't that something? And so these are the truths that we don't always like to own up to, or that we don't always like to admit. You know, there's certain words that we avoid scripturally, maybe. Neil and I remember we pastored a man that's gone on to be with the Lord now. And he was tight as a boot. I mean tight, tight. And one Sunday morning we were having Sunday night services. And I said, tonight I'm going to preach on one of the most deadly sins in the Word of God. I said, tonight we're going to be talking about the terrible, terrible sin of parsimony. And this man wasn't in the habit of coming on Sunday night. But he wanted to hear what this terrible, terrible sin was of parsimony. And it had to do with stinginess. And after the service, he said, if I'd have known what parsimony was, I wouldn't even have been here. You know. Well, paranoia is one of those words too, I'm afraid. You know, you look through the Word of God and you see a lot of people in the Word of God had insecurity. It's not like you're in the boat by yourself. Joshua, you remember he is to follow Moses? And man, he didn't want any part of that. And he gave the Lord his excuse. And the Lord says, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Probably the number one sin, if you will, is for us as believers to forget that God is with us. Thank you. We might have to get up here, Dave, and sing another song. But it's because isn't that what the devil tries to do? To tell you that God's overlooked you, that God's forgotten you, that your problem is bigger, Satan says, than what your God is. And so he'll do all of these things. You remember Saul? If there was ever anybody that suffered from paranoia, had to be Saul. He thought David was out to kill him every time. He saw a demon behind every bush. And over and over again. And so the only way he could handle, the only way he could deal with the fact that David probably wanted to kill him was to try to kill David first. And so that's how strong that was. And nobody supported Saul like David did. Isn't that something? And I think, to me, one of the most powerful passages in the Word of God is when Saul and Jonathan are killed on Mount Gilboa. And David says, don't cry aloud. Don't tell everybody, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. And sometimes, I mean, you can see it in the paper. When a Christian falls, when a Christian errs, when a Christian sins, I mean, all the media wants to just blow this thing up. Unbelievable, you know. And David says, keep it to yourself. God will take care of it. And, of course, a powerful point to me was having been there at Mount Gilboa and seeing the dry mountain look like a West Texas mountain, green mountains on either side. And I asked the Jewish guide, what about this one mountain? Look how dry, look how green these. He said, don't you know your Bible? At that point, I realized I didn't. And he said, you remember Mount Gilboa, where Saul and Jonathan were killed? Yes, sir. He said, David said, cursed art thou, Mount Gilboa, from this day until the next, neither will rain fall upon your peak, neither will grass grow. And to this day, Mount Gilboa is a barren mountain surrounded by green mountains. Well, one of the things that insecurity brings about and the devil uses is that God doesn't care about you. I mean, one way or another, and we don't voice that. We don't shake our fist in the face of God. But it doesn't change. Sometimes we wonder, God, where are you? You know, Job did. A lot of others are when they're up against it. Lord, where are you? It can seem so real that if we don't saturate ourselves in Scripture, then we'll buy into the devil's lie. Amen. The Scripture is the only thing that we have to combat Satan's lies. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But you turn around and you have no understanding and no concept of the Word of God, and he'll tear your backside up. It's the only way I know to say it. But so we have to face it, knowing that we've got one greater than ourselves defending us. You ever try to do things in your own strength? Lord, I don't want to bother you on this one. I'll take care of this one myself. No. The song, I Need Thee Every Hour, that's what we need to talk about. Psalms 37:25, the 37th Psalm, period, is one of my favorites. You look at it from start to finish, and I've used it a lot of times in memorial services, homegoings, and the like. But the one, the older I get, the better I like, is Psalms 37:25, where David says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Is that a promise? You know, that God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So what is our part in all of this? To live righteously, you know. And sometimes we claim scripture that we don't have any business claiming. Let that soak in. Because I see a lot of parents that their kids have gone wild, gone amok, and they said, well, I'm just claiming the scripture, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart. You know, how much of this training took place that you can claim on? I mean, Little League doesn't count. And as agriculturally minded as I am, all the stock shows in the world don't count. It's the Word of God. And so if we want to claim that promise, then we need to do what the promise says. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart. You know, one of the signs of the times, and I just got through with that in our Sunday school class, is that children will be disobedient to parents. Let that sink in a little bit. Because it seems like there was a time, you know, that it was yes, sir, yes, ma'am. We've got some kids in this church that do that. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And it is a blessing to my heart and life, you know. But we have some where the inmates are running the asylum, you know, and they're just downright disobedient to their parents. I used to sell Brock's candy, B-R-A-C-H-S, not the cheaper one. Really good stuff. And one of the things we sold was coconut bonbons. You know my love for coconut. Well, anyway, I'll never forget, I was in a store and I was heading to my candy display, and this little kid was grabbing the bonbons, going, grab another one, grab another one. And he said, Mom, can I have some of this candy? She said, yes, honey, but don't take those. They're squashed. And I want to say that, you see that little spot on the floor? That's going to be your kid. I'm going to squash him. But I didn't. But the psalmist nails it. And then in Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, again, Jesus is teaching and reminding them and reminding us. He said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthing? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you're more value than many sparrows. The devil will also talk to you about of how little worth you are. Lower than pond scum, you're a bottom feeder. And we have to just stop and say, I was all of that. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when I was yet in my sins, he died for me. Didn't wait for me to get it all together. When I was at my lowest, he was at his highest. And we thank the Lord for that. Now, Paul brings out, and this was, I've read the passage. Have you ever read a passage again and again and never really grasp all that it had for you? That's me. Paul writes in Philippians, kind of hold your finger there, and he brings out the fact that insecurity can come from confidence in the flesh. In other words, I can do this. I won't bother the Lord with this. Somebody says, I never bother the Lord with little things. I just bring to him the big things. What's a big thing with God? They're all little things. But he wants to hear from us. And we can trust in our own flesh. We can have confidence there. That's what he's talking about. And he told the Philippians. In the third chapter, in verses 3 and 4, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That we ought to have gotten to a point to where our confidence is not in the flesh, but it is in the Spirit. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul was talking about his own physical accomplishments, if you will. You know, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He had one of the finest educations around. And he persecuted the enemy, the church, and he was zealous in his religion. If anybody can boast in the flesh, he said, it'd be me. I can do it. But I count it all as dung. It's not worth anything. All of that. That I might gain Christ. That's what's important. That's what he was saying. You know, we sing, and I feel sorry for David sometimes. Not very often and not very long when I do. But when I do, you know, we sing some songs, and I know that he works to select the right worshipful music. And one of the songs that we sing is, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Now, these songs speak to our heart. I was at a pastor's conference one time with Dr. Patterson, Paige Patterson, and some of the pastors were complaining about some of today's music. And he addressed them, and he said, the problem with the music is y'all. You're the problem. And here, you know, it's a whole lot easier to blame the Davids of the world than it was to take the blame ourselves. And he said, the hymns that you're talking about were written by pastors. Pastors wrote some of our greatest hymns and everything. It was a message put to song. And when you guys quit doing it, then you began to fuss and cuss the music that was maybe shallower than what you have liked to have seen it. So it's a, you know, you look at the early church in the catacombs. They sang the Psalms. And we do some today. We don't sing Psalms 119 because it has too many verses. But we do sing some of it. Well, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Does he ever accuse you? If Thank you. One honest person in the whole group. Yes, he does. That's what the Bible says that he does. He's an accuser of the brethren. And he will accuse you. And if he doesn't accuse you, it might be because y'all are in the same camp or you're going in the same direction. But he's an accuser of the brethren. And we need to identify the enemy. In German, we always talk about we get too soon old and too late smart. And that's right where I'm at right now. The age is creeping up, but the smart's trying to catch up. And to realize who the enemy is. The enemy's not my brother and sister in the Lord. I don't care how misguided y'all are. It's the devil himself. He's the one that instigates these things. Well, back to Philippians, the third chapter, the 13th and 14th verses, says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." In other words, I don't have it all together. Boy, there's some asinine statements out there people make. You know, preacher, I've read through the Bible 2 times. Greek word for that is whoopee-doo. It's not how much you got into the Word, it's how much the Word got into you. And Paul says, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Listen to this. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." When you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and life and save you, what does he do with those sins? Some of you need to come to the altar and find out. Now, what does he do with them? He forgives us of them, throws them into the depths of the ocean. And I think he puts up a no fishing sign. And so if they come back up, and Satan reminds me of those, it's not the Lord. The Lord convicts, no two ways about it. But Roger Bird's son sang a song, "What Sin?" And where the guy comes and he confesses his sin, and then he comes back and confesses again, and God says, "What sin? You know, you've confessed it. I've forgiven you of it. I've put it in the depths of the ocean. And I've cleansed you from all unrighteousness." And so Paul says here, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Some people can't turn loose of the past so they can move on to the future. Still holding on to them. Still clinging. We were talking today, one of the staff and myself, about counseling people. You know, now, if somebody comes for counsel and you share biblical instruction with them, and they come back again, same problem, you give biblical instruction, and they come back again, they're not interested in counseling. You know, they're interested in trying to find a good Christian bartender that they can just pour out their heart to over and over again, and nothing changes. Nothing changes. You know, if you get your hand caught in the corridor, Number one thing is get your hand out. My cat, he sticks his tail under the rocker, and you rock on him. It don't matter how much cream and tuna you give him. The whole purpose is to get his tail out from under a rocker. People not a lot of different than that cat. Come on, we can do it. You'll be all right. Jesus loves you. Get your tail out of from under the rock. I don't say that. I just... But anyway, Paul says that there's some things to forget and there's some things to remember. We get them confused sometimes. The things that we ought to remember, we forget. And the things we ought to forget, we keep remembering, bringing them up over and over. Well, my one size fits all. You like that, where you can get something that one size fits all? I just found the other day, you know what the Roman numeral for 40 is? XL, extra large. That was for free. But one size fits all, and this is a verse. You know, it really doesn't matter what the problem is. This verse will capture it. Philippians 4, 6 through 8, or 6 through 9, or 10, or whatever. But be careful for nothing. In other words, anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You put garbage in and you get garbage out. Think on these things. Occupy your mouth with them, your mind with them. Let it roll around in your mouth, to be honest with you. You know, there's a lot of times that things may bother me, or I get discouraged about, or one thing or another. But when I start thinking about how the Lord's blessed, when maybe I start thinking about somebody that I talk to about the Lord, or we have a lot of times, Dave will say, let's have a kingdom sighting. In other words, what did you see happen in the last week that's kingdom stuff? That's really good stuff. You know, that's what we want to think on. That's what we want to dwell on. Because he's a great God. And we need to acknowledge that. Amen. Well, what's the cure? The cure is Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I am so thankful. J.K. and I had this discussion today about those that believe that you can lose your salvation and so on and so forth. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received the Holy Spirit lock, stock, and barrel. It wasn't a second blessing or anything else. Now, the filling is something else. I can choose every day. I can choose every moment whether I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit or whether I want to operate in the flesh. That's a choice that I have. And so that's secure. Be filled. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, because the devil wants us to think that Jesus doesn't care and that he has abandoned us, the Lord said, let me share something with you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. Now, you can either believe the Lord or you can believe a lie. Cast all your care upon him because he does care for you. Tonight, maybe you're going through a difficult time. Me, I want to make sure first that everybody here is saved, because you can't claim all these promises unless you know that you know that you know that you're saved. And so if you're not saved, I believe the Holy Spirit of God convicts you. Because he's not willing that even one should perish, but that all might come to repentance and faith and trust in him. So one, if you're not saved, the Lord wants you saved. And so the first thing is to just bow the knees of your heart. Lord, I can't save myself. I've been operating in the flesh. I've been trying to do things on my own, and I need you. Ask him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and life, and save you. Upon the authority of his word, not mine, he'll do just that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then identify with him. I'm not ashamed, you know. I want everybody to know that he's my Savior and I'm his child. I may be an errant, a disobedient child at times. He's still my father. When my kids disobeyed and they were sent to their room, they were still my kids in their room. They were disobedient. They needed correction. But they were my kids this side of the correction and on the other side of the correction. And so the Lord wants us saved. Then he wants us to be able to call on him. I told one of my Bible study classes that we had a lady in the church, and Ruth Ann remembers her, Aurora, and she came to me. She was probably somewhere in her 60s, and she came to me and she said, Brother Butch, I go to the ladies' Bible study, and some of these women pray, and they just pray and it blesses my heart, but I can't pray like that. And she said, I want to, but I can't. And I said, tell me about your home life. And she said, oh, my mom was the sweetest thing. We came home from school. She always had something, a treat for us to eat before we did chores or homework or whatever. And she always made sure we had clean clothes and had a clean house, and my mom was just something. I said, tell me about your daddy. Whoo, now there was a tough man. She said, I'll never forget. I tell my mom, Mom, I need 50 cents for school. And she'd say, honey, go ask your daddy. Mom, please, please don't make me ask Dad. No, honey, you have to go ask your dad. She said, he was mean and he was tough. And I'd walk in there, he'd be reading the paper, and I'd just be fidgeting, and he'd say, what do you want? And I'd say, Dad, I need 50 cents for school. He'd reach in his pocket and he'd grab 50 cents out, throw it on the floor. Get it now and then get out of here. I'm trying to read the paper. And I said, I want you to think about something. You know, that's the way you're treating your heavenly Father, like your earthly Father treated you. You know, you're coming in, making a petition, Lord, and then you're getting out of Dodge rather than spending time with Him. And it was amazing to me to see how her life changed in this manner, because she began to see the Lord as a loving Father. And that's what we need to do. We need to see Him. Tonight, if you don't know Him, you can. If you do know Him, we all need to learn how to trust Him. You know, faith isn't faith until it's all you're holding on to. It's not faith plus anything. So whatever that decision, let's make it for His glory. Let's stand and pray tonight. Lord, we do thank You for Your word. And Lord, all of our doubts and insecurities and anxiety and paranoia, Lord, we know we need to